The verse 105, Psalm 119 is our text, as I've said. Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. Very simply, we're going to consider the subject of walking in the light of God's word. Walking in the light of God's word. I wonder if you have done something that we have done many, many times. In our part where we live, we can go for walks of one kind or another. And one of the favourite things to do, especially for the children and for Jill and I as well, is to look down into the water of the river. And very often we can see there fish. And there's something fascinating, I find, about just watching fish. You can stand there on the bridge and look down in and watch them do their thing, lazily flap around there in the water. In a sense, when we come to the Psalm 119 and this particular section of the Psalm, it's a bit like standing on that kind of a vantage point and looking down into a pool of fish. Now, that might seem to be a strange thing to say at first, but then you'll know that in this psalm we have emphasis placed upon the various letters of the Hebrew alphabet, and in this section it's the letter Nun, roughly equivalent to our English N. That's the Hebrew word for fish. In the form that the letter appears at the head of this section, perhaps in your Bible, it mightn't look much like a fish. But it has a second form in which it's sort of stretched out a little bit. And it's not that difficult to see the letter as a graphic representation of a fish swimming, contracting, stretching, contracting again, and moving along. Each of the verses, as you know, in this psalm begins with the letter that characterizes each section. So in the Hebrew Bible, there are 8 words in this little section that begin with the letter N that stand at the front or at the head of each verse. So in verse 1, it's the word for lamp. Verse 2, the verb, I have sworn. In verse 107, I am afflicted. Then the next verse, the free will offerings. Verse 109, it's my soul. Then verse 110, it's the verb, they have led. Verse 111, I have taken. Verse 112, I have inclined. All these little fish, as it were, swimming in this pool. Now, I think that one of the things that we find intriguing about fish is that they cannot survive out of their own environment. I know that that's something that I find intriguing, is just that when you're looking into water, watching fish, you're looking at an environment, a biosphere that is so completely foreign to what we are, and yet there are those animals, those creatures, and they're happy there. I wouldn't be happy in there, and they wouldn't be happy where I am. And we, of course, use that proverbial expression of one being like a fish out of water. We know what happens when you take a fish out of water. It's out of its element. It's out of its comfort zone. It's out of its natural habitat. It's not going to be comfortable. And if it's a prolonged exposure to another environment, it's going to die. As we look at these verses, in a sense there is an environment that is described that is the natural element of the believer, which if he is removed from, he will be like a fish out of water. He will be left gasping. He will be left like that fish that has been caught or maybe has inadvertently jumped out of the water, left gasping and struggling to get back into his natural environment. It is only in the environment that is in some ways set before us here in this little section of the psalm that the child of God can live and move, prosper and thrive and make progress. But take a child of God out of the environment that is referred to in this passage, and he will be most certainly like a fish out of water. I want us to think about the statements of the verse 105 as they are related to that natural environment and conduct of the Christian. This is where the Christian is happiest. This is where the Christian will thrive. This is where he will be like a fish in water, in his own element, in his own environment, where God has created him to be, walking in the light of the Word. Thy Word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. Now, to begin with, I want us to consider the inferred darkness that the saint experiences. I think it's a natural enough inference that whenever you have a reference to light, you have to consider the darkness. And when the psalmist is speaking here of the Word being a lamp to his feet and a light to his path, is there not the very obvious suggestion that apart from these things he would walk in darkness? That were it not for the comfort of the light of divine truth and the guidance that the book of God give ye in the dark. That's the obvious suggestion of these words. Now the personal course of the Christian, and notice that he's referring to my path. My path. Your path is not going to be the same as mine, nor mine the same as yours, and yet your path and mine at times is going to be through darkness. Our personal course through life is often a path through darkness. He refers to several matters in this little section that help explain the imagery that is being used here. For example, in the verse 107, I am afflicted very much. Quicken me, O Lord, according unto thy word. I am afflicted. How often affliction in the Bible is linked with the concept of darkness, the clouds of trouble darken our sky and our horizon, and we find ourselves walking through a dark period of time. Perhaps no experience in the Bible serves to illustrate this as much as the experience of Job, as he came into those testing times where the devil stirred up so much affliction and trouble and difficulty, and there was mental and physical and emotional and financial pressures brought to bear upon him. And Job in chapter 29 and the verse 2 says this, Oh, that I were as in months past, as in the days when God preserved me, when His candle shined upon my head, and when by His light I walked through darkness. But the light had gone out, in a sense, as far as Job's experience was concerned. He had come into affliction, into trouble, into deep despair and oppression. The word for affliction here is just linked with a verb that means to labor in various senses. Laboring under a burden, laboring under oppression, squeezed and afflicted, pressurized. There's an intensity about the word. And such is the psalmist's experience of this gloomy affliction that he's pressed even to the point of death. I am afflicted very much. Quicken me. Revive me. preserve me alive. Lord, if you don't come and do something, this darkness of soul and of experience is so oppressive that I am despairing of life itself. He was a fish out of water because of the affliction that had entered his experience. Verse 109, my soul is continually in my hand, yet do I not forget thy law. The wicked have laid a snare for me, yet I erred not from thy precepts. There is here in his experience the threat of sudden, secret, serious assaults upon him from the enemies of his soul. There's a snare at every step. The potential to fall into sin. The potential to grieve God and wander from his testimonies and his commandments. The temptation to forget God's law at every step he took. It's no wonder he raises the idea in our minds here of darkness. Here was a hostile environment that cast a pall of gloom over his path that affected his every step. The course that he was following was through enemy terrain. And that consideration is always a great dampener upon any lightness of spirit or of mind. It prompts dark thoughts. It prompts a gloomy mindset at times. Constantly on guard. Constantly fighting the opposition of those spiritual forces that are ranged against our progress. For God, he lived in affliction, he lived in danger and opposition at this point, and it was an experience of darkness. I think too we can add in here the idea of ignorance, not knowing where to go, what to do, what steps to take. Now that's something we still associate with the metaphors of light and darkness. We speak about being in the dark about something when we are ignorant of certain things. Or we may even use the expression of the light coming on, or seeing the light. Or it was a light bulb moment. I learned something. The Lord Jesus, when he was addressing his disciples in John chapter 12 and the verse 35, said this to them, yet a little while is the light with you. Walk while ye have the light, lest darkness come upon you. For he that walketh in darkness knoweth not whither he goeth. Darkness and ignorance go together. That's why we need light. That's why we use light. We may be fairly adept at getting around in the dark or half light in circumstances that we're familiar with, but put us in a strange place where we have no knowledge of, we'll not be able to do anything while we're in the dark. Now, of course, such darkness is natural to the state of man as a sinner. In the Psalm 82 and the verse 5, the psalmist says there, speaking of the wicked, they know not, neither will they understand. They walk on in darkness. Or as Paul wrote to the Ephesians in Ephesians 5 and the verse 8, speaking of their unsaved experience, ye once were darkness, but now are ye light in the Lord. But the reality is, of course, that although the child of God has been delivered from that darkness of nature by the saving grace of God, there still are elements of that darkness that remain within us. In our flesh, we struggle with ignorance of how we are to act, how we are to behave. This is the cause of so much strife and argument and debate even among Christians. And certain matters are raised for debate, and one believer will say, well, don't you know that in the light of Scripture that's wrong? Well, another, because of ignorance of what the Bible teaches, is perfectly happy to do that very thing. And that's the way it is with all of us. Here is a man, and even as he writes these words, Peter tells us that he is a holy man of God, filled with the Holy Spirit, inspired to write. For that was the character of all of the inspired authors of Scripture. Holy man of God, Peter wrote. Wrote as they were moved by the Holy Ghost. And yet he's conscious of the remaining darkness even in his own being. The steps that he's to take, the course that he's to follow in life, there remains so much darkness and ignorance. It's something that we struggle with. Notice the intensity and the extent of the ignorance and the darkness that is spoken of here. Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. The fact that he needed this divine light for his feet clearly teaches us that each step otherwise would be taken in the dark. You're in pretty dark conditions when you can't see your feet. We might speak of it being so dark that we can't see our hand in front of our face. Well, here the psalmist is indicating, without this light, I wouldn't know where to put my feet. I can't even see that far. Each step would be in the dark. Not just the great distances of life and what will happen tomorrow or next week or the year after, but even footstep by footstep. This is the extent of the darkness that will naturally prevail apart from the Word of God. Now, this can be a very intimidating thing. I don't know if you've ever been in a circumstance where you've had to walk through somewhere in such complete darkness you can't see your feet. Add to that the possibility of dangers and pitfalls there that you don't know and can't see, have no way of knowing that they're there. The psalmist is describing a situation here that's a bit like walking through a minefield in the dark. Snares on every hand and hardly knowing, not knowing where to put his feet. Now, here is something that should cause the child of God to tremble. I know, because it is the way of the flesh. I know that within the child of God there is that thought that we can pick our own steps and we can make our own way through and we can get by without the Bible and we can get by without attending church and we can get by without listening to the preaching and the instruction of God's Word. But this passage would have us to remember you can't even see where to put your next footstep apart from the light that can be had from the Scriptures. There are dangers that are more real than stepping on a mine in a battlefield. In a spiritual sense, there are dangers that are more real and more destructive that await your every footstep. And you have the audacity to think that you can make your way along life's path without the light of God's Word? The psalmist was not going to make such a mistake. I dare not, he seems to say in these words, I dare not even put one foot, not a single step, to the earth unless I am doing so in the light of the Word of God. I have no way of knowing what snare I will put my feet into. Just by that one step. It's taken in the dark. Taken without the guidance of the Word of God. Here is a fear that should paralyze us from any thought of going on even another step. It's a fear that should drive us to the Lord Himself to plead with Him in the most urgent terms to grant us step by step the light of His Word. Can we consider for a moment in the second place the source of this light? The light that is needed, the light that illuminates His feet and lightens His path is to be found, we are told, in Thy Word. Thy Word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. Now, what's he referring to? Clearly he's referring to the Scriptures themselves. That we understand to be the Word of God. In the Psalm 19. Look at what the psalmist on that occasion records in the verse 8 of that psalm. Psalm 19, the verse 8. The statutes of the Lord are right, rejoicing the heart. The commandment of the Lord is pure, enlightening the eyes. Now here there is an emphasis upon the righteousness, the purity of the commands of God, and in virtue of that fact, they exercise an illuminating influence upon the heart and upon the mind and upon the way of the child of God. They're right. That's why they are a light. It's because they're righteous. It's because they're true. It's because they're pure. The Word of God, because of its very character and nature in this regard, illuminates our path. Only righteousness, only truth, only that which is pure can illuminate. Everything else has the effect of bringing down darkness upon us. Adding confusion, adding ignorance. Give attention to directions that are impure. Give attention to a source of guidance that is evil and wicked and defiled. And it will have the effect of putting on dark glasses in the dark. Not going to illuminate anything, it's going to make you blinder still. And yet how many Christians there are seek to find guidance for life in sources that are not righteous, that are not pure, that are not the unchanging statutes, the engraved words of God that cannot change. In the Psalm 43, there's another reference there to the Word of God as a source of light. O, send out thy light and thy truth. Let them lead me, let them bring me unto thy holy hill and to thy tabernacles. Send out thy light and thy truth. Now here again there's an emphasis upon the truthfulness of the Word of God and the fact that because it is true, it exercises the influence of light. And just notice the effect of this light in passing here in this text. Because it is true, it illuminates the path and it shines upon the feet and it leads into thy holy hill and to thy tabernacles. You know those who walk in the light come to church. They come to the house of God. Those who walk in darkness don't. Send out thy light and thy truth.
And where will they lead? Into thy holy hill, to thy tabernacle, to the altar of God, yea, even, verse 4, unto God my exceeding joy. That's where this illumination leads, this truth leads in this instance. Or have a look at the words of Proverbs chapter 6 and the verse 23. For the commandment is a lamp, and the law is light, and the reproofs of instruction are the way of light, or the way of life. Now here there is again an emphasis upon the particular aspect of the nature of God's word. It is a light because it is a commandment. It is a light because it is a law, and because it reproves sin. These are things that we can bear in mind as we look at the statement in our text, thy word is a lamp. Why is thy word a lamp? Because it's a law. Because it's a commandment. Because it's truth. Because it's pure. Because it's righteousness. This is how light is imported into the life of a Christian. It is as they are brought under the rebuke of the laws and commands of God. As they are reproved and instructed by God's word, the light goes on as God rebukes sin. 2 Peter and the chapter 1 and the verse 19, we have those familiar words where Peter is speaking of the word of prophecy that is to be found in all of the Scriptures. We have also a more sure word of prophecy, and you remember the more sure word, the Bible, the inspired writings of God's word are more certain, more sure, more reliable and dependable even than that audible voice that he, along with James and John, heard in the Mount of Transfiguration. Whereunto ye do well that ye take heed to the Scriptures, as unto a light that shineth in a dark place, until the day dawn and the day star arise. Taking heed in your hearts to that light, that more sure word of prophecy, that light that shines in a dark place. Again, Peter is making the point. It's the written word of God in certain, sure revelation that is the means of light. As that word shines in the heart, it shines to guide the Christian even unto the day of the Lord. But I think that as we look at our text, while we can say, yes, this is a reference to the Scriptures, it's more than that. Obviously, we must read and study and learn the Word of God. But you'll notice that he's speaking to the Lord here. He is addressing the Lord directly. When he's talking about the Scripture, he uses the second person and says, it's thy Word. He's in personal conversation, fellowship and communion with God. It is as the Word of God found in the Scriptures is personally communicated to him by personal fellowship with God that it exercises this ministry of shining light into his experience. The Bible is not like a flashlight that you can just open it like any other book and switch it on and benefit from what it has to say. It's a book that you must not only read as far as print on a page is concerned and study it in that fashion as written literature, but it's a word that you can only derive light from as you talk to the Lord about it, as you get a word from God in the context of personal fellowship with him. Thy word. It's thy word. It's Some have a regard for the Bible. Some read the Scriptures methodically and systematically, and yet never get to the point where their soul engages God in this personal fashion and they begin to speak to Him in the way the psalmist does here. It's Thy Word and Thy Word. When the Bible becomes Thy Word and all that that little expression indicates, then it becomes a light. When you pray over it, when you discuss it with the Lord, when it becomes a personal word, not just ink on a page, or not even just in the context of the preached word, the words of a preacher, but that becomes the living word of God communicated through whatever medium, whether in writing or communicated to our ears. Becomes the living word of the living God, then and only then the light comes on. Some will read their Bible, but because it's just ink on paper, they read it and they still don't know what to do or how to walk or how to live. And they're still as much in the dark as ever. And they may throw the Bible aside in disgust and say, the way we might do with a flashlight, that when we need it, there's no batteries in it, and it doesn't work. That's their attitude to the Bible. Nah, it didn't work. I read it, and it didn't work. I'm still in the dark. Not until it becomes Thy Word, Lord, the Word of God, in the context of personal, direct fellowship with Him, does it become a light. Now clearly there is an exclusive source of light here. Thy Word, and Thy Word only, is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. Notice that he doesn't add in any statements like Thy Word as I understand it, Thy Word in cooperation with my cleverness is a light to my path, but simply and exclusively Thy Word. It is the Word of God that first shines light on the course of a sinner and warns him on his way, of his ways. It is the Word of God that guides to Christ and leads in the heavenward path. That has been seen from the beginning. The Lord needed no help in saying those first creative words, "Let there be light." There wasn't anybody to help. He didn't need an echo. He didn't need someone to parrot the words after him. He spoke them himself, sovereignly, creatively, and there was light. Light originates in God, and in God alone. Even though he employs means, yes, he does. But there was light in the earth before there was a sun. God said, "Let there be light," and there was light even before he created the sun, the moon, and the stars. In Isaiah 8 and verse 20, these are words that we have looked at a number of times. Isaiah 8 and verse 20. "To the law and to the testimony, if they speak not according to this word, it is because there is no light in them." In the context, he has been dealing with the wicked tendencies among the people of Israel to go to seek to familiar spirits and to wizards and to consult the dead and to engage these other forms of supposed revelation and knowledge. And the emphasis of verse 20 is that the law and the testimony is the only source of light. No light in anything else. There's no light anywhere else but in the law and the testimony, the Word of God. In the same prophecy, there's a statement made in chapter 50. Word of counsel and encouragement to faithful servants of God in a dark time. Isaiah 50, the verse 10, "Who is among you that feareth the Lord, that obeyeth the voice of His servant, that walketh in darkness and is no light?" Here is a faithful servant of God, and at times, through various circumstances in life, darkness comes. Trouble, affliction, opposition, danger, unbelief, ignorance, doubt and fear. All of these things bring darkness even to the faithful. But the Lord addresses such an individual here with this counsel. "Let him trust in the name of the Lord and stay upon his God. Behold, all ye that kindle a fire, that compass yourselves about with sparks, walk in the light of your fire and in the sparks that ye have kindled. This shall ye have of mine hand, ye shall lie down in sorrow." Now, again, using an analogy. What do men do in the dark? They make light. And here he envisages some who make a fire. But it's artificial light, if we put it that way. And the word of counsel is to the faithful servant, don't you try to light a fire and try to walk in the light of any sparks you may generate or create. No, you just keep trusting in the Lord. You keep walking in the ways that God has given and revealed in His Word. And that's the particular point that's being made here. Obeying the voice of His servant. Obeying the voice of Christ. What did the Lord Jesus say in John chapter 8 and the verse 12? "I am the light of the world. He that followeth me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life." And that's the truth that's brought out by Isaiah here in chapter 50. You obey the voice of the servant. Keep on doing it. Walk in that way in faith. Don't be tempted to make your own sparks. Don't be tempted to strike up your own light. It's not going to lead you anywhere, because there's an exclusive source of light that's in the Word of God, in the voice of His servant, even the voice of the Christ Himself. The effect of this word is described here in the illustration that is used. It's a lamp and or a candle and a light. How do you define light? It's simply that which banishes darkness. It's that which illuminates and brings comfort and cheer. It drives the darkness away. Darkness is the natural state, and here is light that drives it away. Darkness cannot abide where light is present. And when a word from God comes into the heart and soul of the Christian, whatever form that darkness may take, is banished. You can see your feet. You can see the path. If it's doubt, if it's fear, if it's unbelief, if it's ignorance, if it's oppression, opposition, the burdens of the day, the difficulty of the path, whatever it may be, when the light comes, the darkness goes. It cannot abide the light. It cannot abide. It cannot remain. If you get to the place where you can say, "Lord, Thy Word. It's Thy Word." You hear the sound of the Savior's voice. Like those disciples on the sea, and we're explicitly told in John 6, it was dark. And Jesus was not come unto them, but then they heard that voice speaking through their fear and speaking through the darkness, "Be not afraid, it is I." And the disciples were glad, and they received him into the ship. A word from God will remove ignorance. A word from God will remove the burden. A word from God will remove the fear. Remove darkness of every sort. The Word is light. Let's notice in conclusion just what the Word of God illuminates. Thy Word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. The light of Scripture, we need to learn this, must be applied to our walk. It must be applied to our walk. There's a practical application of the light. You hand a child a flashlight in the dark and they shine it all over the place. They just get such excitement out of the beam of light dancing around in the air. But there's very little practical use made of it. You can stand still and shine it around and make funny shapes on the wall or funny shadows, and you know how it goes. But if you're going to do anything, shine it where you're walking. It's got to be made practical use of. Now the psalmist makes this statement here with the determination in his mind and heart to obey God. Immediately he goes on in verse 106. I have sworn, I will perform it. I will keep thy righteous judgments. Here is a heart fixed on obeying God. The only way he can carry that determination through is to step by step have thy word illuminating his path. The light of truth is not simply to illuminate our minds. There are many, and that's all the Bible is. It's knowledge to be stored up in the mind. There are many who read the Bible and they read it just to know what it teaches. But there's no light ever shines on their path. Some read the Bible so that their tongue, if we put it that way, might be illuminated, that they can speak the words. A preacher can do that. Study the Scriptures so that his speech, his messages, are in that sense illuminated by the Word of God. But does it ever get to the feet? This is the thing. Has the Word of God got to your feet? This is the use that we must make of it. The environment in which we live requires us to get a word from God and shine it on our feet. Now, the fact that he refers to my feet here in this text suggested to me the idea that this really is a very small area that is illuminated. If you imagine yourself in a dark room and shine a flashlight on your feet, it's really quite a small area. Everything else will remain in the dark. And so it is for the Christian. As an individual, it's your feet you need to illuminate, not mine, yours. There are things that are going to remain in the dark. Things you don't need to know about, things you don't need to understand. Things in the circumstances of other people's lives, in an ordinary sense, that you don't need to worry about or consider. The primary application of the Word of God, I'm not saying there isn't application to others and to the circumstances around, but the primary application for you and for me is our own feet. That's the primary use of the Scripture in an individual sense. You shine it on your feet. Now, in terms of the church at large, in terms of the world generally, your feet occupy a very, very small part of human experience. But that's the little part you're responsible for. One step. One step. Are your feet being illuminated by the Word of God? Are you spending time to get thy Word and living in the light of that word? Here is all I need to know where my next step is going to be put. Of all the steps that I take in the day, of all the decisions and the actions that I take, all I need to know is that the next one is illuminated by the Word of God. I know there is a proper sense in which we must make longer term plans than just the next footstep, but the psalmist is addressing here just little things, little details, one step at a time. Make sure that thy word guides it. His course is illuminated because thy word is not only a lamp to my feet, but a light to my path. And again, the idea of smallness is here because there's a word with a precise meaning attached to it that's used here. It's not a highway. It's a footpath. It's the kind of little path that you might wear in the grass just by walking that particular way every time. And it's those little footpaths are just usually wide enough for 2 feet to walk along. It's a narrow path. It's a path that's easily strayed from if you're walking in the dark. You need the light. Are we not called to walk a narrow path? The path that leads to life is a narrow path. It's a footpath. It's a footpath. It's a personal path. In that sense, there's just room on for one. It's just you as an individual. It's the path you walk to heaven. Oh, I know the Bible presents to us the idea of the Savior walking with us, and He does. But the footpath you walk is just wide enough for you. And that's what's illuminated here. The course that you are to follow. The way that you're to put your feet into. Usually footpaths are the kind of little paths that twist and turn. They're not nice, straight, engineered highways. And certainly the narrow path is a path with twists and turns and life in it. A path that's easy to stray from. But all we need to know about the course that God has called us to walk in is found in this expression, thy word. There are Christians who throw up their hands in horror. Say, how do you live the Christian life? How do I know what to do? And maybe they're looking for a checklist. And maybe they're looking for sort of like a Christian grocery list that they can check off the various things on. That's not how to live the Christian life. The Christian life involves walking a narrow path and doggedly, deliberately putting our feet step by step into that narrow path. And we do it in the light of the word that we get from the Lord. In the context of personal communication with Him. In one sense, as I've said already, the Bible is our guide. But it has to be more than the Bible. It has to be the Bible as the Word of God to me. Received in personal communication from Him. Then we will walk in the light. As He is in the light. And we will have fellowship one with another. Are you walking in that light today? Is that how you handle the Bible? Or are you gasping and floundering like a fish out of water? Because you're not walking in the light of thy word.